All right, Brian D'Andrea, who's allegedly Italian, he claimed he is. I haven't seen his papers, but let's take his word for it. He's the senior vice president of the Century Housing Corporation, and they're part of the Veterans Collective, which includes a couple of other partners we'll talk about, and they are involved in a major development at the nation's largest Veterans Administration facility in West Los Angeles. We're talking 388 acres. It's a lot of territory, Brian. What's going on over there?
Hey, Jeff. Nice to see you again. It's been a couple of years.
Yes, indeed. Nice to see you.
As you mentioned, we're part of a partnership comprised of our organization, our nonprofit, Century Housing Corporation, another nonprofit called US Vets, who I think you're familiar with, and
yes.
Thomas Safran and Associates, who's an affordable housing developer and manager. We were selected competitively by the VA back in late 2018 to serve as the principal developer for this massive piece of real estate on the west side of Los Angeles at the VA campus that has been underutilized for many, many decades. And we've been at it for 3 years now, and I'm excited to share more with you today.
All right. Well, let's start at the beginning. That would be about 1887. And then I think we better skip a few years or else we'll be here forever. But I would be remiss if I didn't kind of paint the picture of the backdrop here. This has been a very controversial situation. And in fact, I'd like to just flash the, this is the original deed. The property owners were Arcadia Bandini DeBacker, I may not be pronouncing that correctly, and U.S. Senator John P. Jones. And they were the original property owners. And they deeded this for the explicit purpose of housing disabled veterans. And for many years, the property was not being used for that purpose. And in fact, the VA was renting it out to commercial entities. And that was very controversial and the subject of litigation. And so it's probably not entirely fair to you and your partners, Brian, but it's also kind of understandable that a lot of folks are skeptical, bitter, resentful because of the history, and they're not quite eager to trust you on this. Is that fair to say? Do you feel like you kind of have to prove yourself?
We have to earn the trust of the public. I think we've got a lot of experience we can point to in terms of other communities we've developed and are continuing to manage. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're going to earn that trust just through showing progress and our you know, true commitment to honoring and serving our veterans, going all the way back to that original conveyance in 1887, as you referred to. It's a sacred piece of real estate. We feel that. We feel tremendous obligation. And we've made a lot of strides here over the past 3 years. We've broken ground on our first phase of development, made extensive infrastructure improvements already in partnership with the VA. And we've got a couple hundred units planned for breaking ground, hopefully late this year and into early next year. And so you're gonna start to see tremendous physical progress on the campus in a way that was not necessarily visible in the past.
Right. Well, I said we'd skip a few years, so let's skip to the past couple of years or so when a very large homeless encampment materialized on the perimeter of the VA. And for, I don't know the exact period of time, but for quite a while, they weren't allowed inside. And in recent months, that changed and they were brought inside, and there's now a temporary encampment there. Arnold Schwarzenegger donated, I think, $250,000 for some tiny homes. Let's just take a look at a news clip that I think will give people a little background, some context that might be helpful.
In early October, we joined the secretary of the VA as he toured this campus in West LA. He discovered a long row of tents on the public street with some vets who'd been camping there for years.
Is there a place to put some of these people so they're not literally outside here but on the property?
Well, I think you see some of it right here.
Soon after that, action. We were here in November as Governor Newsom toured the property and announced an expansion of the tiny homes program. Former Governor Schwarzenegger saw that and decided to spend $250,000 of his own money to buy even more tiny homes.
I'm going to show you inside one of these right now.
Arnold Schwarzenegger gets a tour of a series of tiny homes he bought for homeless veterans and their animals. He once lived in tents on the streets.
So we should be clear that, you and your partners aren't involved in running the temporary housing situation now, but I think it's good. It's a part of the context of the whole situation. This is the property there is where the permanent housing is being developed or next to it?
It's adjacent to some of the areas we're working on. And I want to say that, you know, we really view this entire campus as a continuum of housing and services. And so those tiny homes, along with the city and the county's bridge shelter that's presently operated by a VA contractor, we see all of those solutions as part of a larger puzzle. And the permanent housing that we're creating as the principal developer will be a future home for folks that may be transitioning through the tent encampment operated by the VA or the tiny homes that you just referred to.
Right. So you don't have to explain too extensively, but a little bit about the different roles that each of the partners have. Thomas Safran and Associates and U.S. Vets are the other partners. What are the different? What's the difference between the roles each of you are responsible for?
Sure. So each of us in our own right are co-developers and responsible for certain buildings and the production of certain supportive housing units for veterans. And then U.S. Vets is also playing kind of a lead service provider role, and that builds upon their stature as an organization. I think they're the nation's largest service provider to veterans. So each of us has responsibilities as it relates to different areas and buildings that we are either building or redeveloping. And we are collaborating on the larger creation of a community. You know, it's not just about sticks and bricks for us. It's about creating and nurturing and a therapeutic and a thriving community where veterans can feel like they're at home. And, you know, it's got everything from, you know, a town center to a wellness center, arts programming, employment opportunities, workforce development. So collaborating together on the creation of that larger community. But
It's a combination of housing and services. That's the key. And U.S. Vets, I don't think they have, I may be wrong, but I don't think they have construction expertise, correct? They're just in the area of providing services to veterans?
I think they're primarily a service provider, but they also have, you know, in their own right, development experience across the country, including here in Southern California.
Okay. Let's take a look at a news clip. There is an ABC report that actually you emailed to me and brought to my attention, so you must think it's valid. Here's somebody talking about actually the combination of housing and service.
Prove that solving the homeless problem among veterans is more than building a house.
Oh, absolutely. Combining all of the housing and services in one place really gives veterans every opportunity to succeed.
There will be a town center, community kitchen, art and athletic spaces, a therapeutic garden, and easy access to VA medical care.
That's Steve Peck, who's the head honcho of U.S. Vets. So what about this concept of housing and services together? Your corporation runs the Villages at Cabrillo in Long Beach, where my nonprofit has provided services, and I'm, you know, therefore very familiar with it. It's like in my bones, actually, and it's very inspiring. And ever since I became acquainted with that community, I've asked myself, why isn't there more of this? And by this, I just mean the combination of housing and services. I understand that, you know, land varies, funding varies, things can be at a different scale. So I'm not necessarily saying exactly that size, exactly that way. But why isn't there more of this going on throughout the nation?
Well, you know, here in Southern California in particular, there's a lot of supportive housing that is being created. I think what's a little bit unique about a place like the Villages, where we've been at it for 25 years, it's, you know, for your viewers, it's an old naval shipyard property. It was housing for the men and women that worked in the shipyard for decades and decades. And under the McKinney Act was conveyed to our nonprofit organization back in 1997 for the benefit of the homeless. And so we've been, this is our, actually our 25th anniversary year coming up. We're so excited to celebrate that. We've learned a lot over the years, and we're extrapolating that knowledge and bringing it to a much larger community up at West LA VA. So it is being done. I think we're a little bit unique in terms of the scale of what you see at the villages. We've got 1,500 residents on any given night. We have about 30 different partner agencies, about a dozen of which are located physically on site. Others, like your organization, provide kind of ad hoc services and meet our residents where they are on a recurring basis. And it's proven to be a very successful model. I think when you look at
Well, am I mistaken? Because I heard you say, "Oh, there are a bunch of them actually," but that's that focus on veterans or just other kinds of populations that have some services with housing.
Well, you know, as it relates to supportive housing, there are lots of infill supportive housing developments throughout California, Los Angeles in particular. And supportive housing is housing that's specifically geared towards vulnerable populations that are experiencing homelessness and need not only a home, right? Four walls and a cot doesn't solve homelessness. You need rental subsidy, you need access to mental health services, access to case management, any number of physical health care. And so one of the unique things about the villages is we have co-located all of those critical services in one place.
Right, exactly. That's what I'm saying. So why isn't there more of that? As you said, you agree that it's a good model. That's precisely my point. It's a good model.
Yeah.
But I don't see it happening elsewhere. I'm not saying it's easy. Maybe that's the reason. But I mean, rather than just say, oh, it's impossible, I'd rather hear what's difficult about it and see if maybe, through some collaboration, you never know. It's a big country. You never know who might jump in and do something.
Yeah, there are some other examples of communities like ours across the country. I think ours in Long Beach is certainly unique. I think it's kind of the largest of its kind. Presently owned about, of that population of 1,500 residents, about 700 are veterans.
Right.
So it is being done. I think one of the challenges is, one, trying to find a large enough piece of real estate where you can create those economies of scale and locate all of those services in one place. Also, these investments take time, right? This is not a 2 or 4 year solution, right? If you look at what's at the villages now, it's 25 years in the making,
right.
Continues to evolve. In 2 months' time, we'll be breaking ground on our sixth phase of development called The Cove that will house 90 veteran households, including 60 that are presently experiencing homelessness. So these things take time and an investment of tremendous resources in things like infrastructure and amenities like social halls and medical clinics, things that are hard to finance. So we're facing some of those same barriers and challenges at the West LA VA. And one of the things we're doing is we're soliciting support from the private sector, from the state, from the federal government to help finance the construction of this supportive community.
All right, let's take another look at a clip from that ABC report, because I think it might be a good way just to take us through step by step to make sure we hit all the important points.
Homeless veterans had been living on these sidewalks on VA's doorstep just a few months ago, but they've been moved onto the property where they have access to showers, meals, and security. We saw firsthand last month in Los Angeles, home to the largest population of homeless vets in the country, how McDonough's VA is trying to accelerate progress. The encampment on the West LA VA campus is both beautiful and baffling. Veterans living in the shadow of buildings originally constructed to house and help them after World War II. Some have been sitting idle for decades.
These old buildings are just down the road from Beverly Hills. They're turning them into housing for veterans on a sprawling 388-acre campus that will be the largest veterans housing project in America.
People who don't live in this area, they just hear the word Los Angeles, they may not realize that is some real prime real estate, among the most desirable in the country, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. This is squarely on the west side of Los Angeles, right between Westwood and Brentwood. Tremendously valuable and beautiful real estate. You step foot on that campus, that VA campus, and it's a historic district on the National Register, but it's a very bucolic place. Beautiful old landscaping, some tremendous architecture that we'll be working to preserve and highlight.
Right. Now, in that clip, we saw some very dilapidated buildings. where are you at now, and how long is it going to take?
Yeah, so our community plan contemplates close to 1,700 supportive homes to be developed on the North Campus, about 250 of which are either under construction or already operating. There are, you know, more than 1,000 left to be created. With any development of that scale, the only way to really crack that nut is to do it in phases. So we're squarely within the first phase of our development at the campus. Century Housing, in terms of our responsibility right now, we're putting the finishing touches on a big tax credit and bond application that'll go out next week for Building 404, which will contain 73 homes for homeless veterans. Our partner, Thomas Safran and Associates, is working on parking lot 38 that'll be redeveloped into 120 supportive homes for veterans. One of our other, not part of our principal developer entity, but another developer that the VA had previously engaged by the name of Core Companies, is also putting in a tax credit application for 75 supportive homes on MacArthur Field. We're hopeful that each of these three applications will be competitive. And if we're awarded credits and bonds, we'll be breaking ground late this year. And then Century actually has a second deal that'll go into TCAC and SIDLAC in the second round of this year in July. It's actually the building you see behind me here on my backdrop, that's building 157. Those two buildings combined represent 112 supportive homes for vets. So you need to just do the math, and that's close to 400 homes that we hope to be breaking ground on within the next year or so.
Okay, so that's breaking ground. And when do you think veterans will have homes?
Right, so for those four developments I just mentioned, those are, you know, 20 to 22 month builds on average, right? So we're looking at a couple of years in terms of deliveries. However, what I will say is that there are three developments presently under construction and slated for completion in Q4 of this year. Those are buildings 205 and 208, along with building, and those are being done by another developer, and then building 207, which is being developed by Thomas Safran and Associates. So those three buildings have more than 100 and I think 60 homes between them that'll come online late this year.
Steve Peck in this ABC report said something that suggests to me he thinks the president needs to get behind this a bit more, and that would accelerate the process.
6 years since the plan was first approved, just 5% of veteran apartments on the West LA VA campus have been completed. One independent audit faulting a lack of accountability and lack of urgency.
I mean, if a private developer wants to buy a parcel and put up an apartment building, it wouldn't take them 5 years.
It is a funding problem. The water, the sewer, the electricity, the telecom, all that has to be redone. And where is that money going to come from?
Peck says developers have raised only a tenth of the total price tag and also need help cutting red tape.
When the top dog says, let's get it done, then people below find a way to get it done.
Top dog. I interpret that to mean the president, right?
Well, I think Steve is referring to Secretary McDonough, and we do have his attention, as you saw in that ABC clip. He also was in the recent Good Morning America piece. He is absolutely committed to this project. And I will say, you know, we very much view the VA as a partner in this, and they have just done made tremendous efforts and strides to clear the way here. The VA has single-handedly invested more than $10 million in a dry utility infrastructure project that will provide all the natural gas, telecommunications, and electrical service to all of these communities I've just described you, all these developments I've described you. Right now, they're taking on more than $20 million worth of wet utility projects, which are critical, right, to serving these future buildings. So the VA absolutely has stepped up and will continue to step up, in my belief, to support this. They definitely feel the burden and the weight of this responsibility. That comes through loud and clear every day.
That's great to hear. So it's Dennis McDonough who's the top dog, and that does make sense, actually, the Secretary of Veterans Affairs. Let's hear what he has to say.
A bigger number here over the course of this year. upwards of almost 200 additional units.
He says that will build confidence in the project, enticing Congress, the state, and private sector to cut checks to keep it going.
So that's what you're looking for right now. You want a check to be cut, so to speak. You're right now seeking funding from the state of California?
We're seeking funding from all sources, from local sources like the County of Los Angeles, from the state of California, and from the federal government. Last year, thanks to the leadership of Governor Newsom, the state invested $20 million of flexible housing capital, kind of accelerator capital that we're using to push forward all of these phase one projects that I referred to you. The County of Los Angeles and the City of Los Angeles have invested in some of these early phases, and we're going to continue to seek support from those local partners. And then we'll continue to tap other state resources, including bonds and tax credits, which are kind of the basic building block of each of these affordable housing developments that we're working on.
So how can the public help? What is it that you, what would you like from us?
Thank you for asking that. We love to engage with the public. We've got a very active website. We're active on social media. Please check us out, follow us, share the good news. There's a lot of good things happening. We realize there's a lot of cynicism around the past. We're looking forward, though. We don't have time to look backwards. And the good news is the VA is looking forward with us. There'll be plenty of opportunities to volunteer down the road once we have operations on campus and veterans moving in. I think there's operations to donate resources, in-kind resources, cash. We're mounting a large capital campaign to help support some of these harder to finance developments like the renovation and restoration of the Wadsworth Chapel and some of the other amenities in the heart of the campus. So you can learn more about our website.
You want to give the, I'm sorry to interrupt, but you mentioned your website. We should give out the URL for it. What is the website address?
Yeah, the website is www.theveteranscollective.org.
Theveteranscollective.org. Maybe, Tori, you can flash that on the screen before we're done. Theveteranscollective.org. See, you said the www. I don't know that that's necessary anymore. Some people do that. And you know what else I'd notice is when people give out an 800 number, they always tend to say 1-800. Look at Tori. She put in the W's. Oh, I can't believe it. I think it works without the W's. Right? Have you ever noticed that when people give out an 800 number, they always say 1-800, but they don't say it with any other area code?
This is true.
You weren't expecting that question. See, I'm going to grill you about it. I'm a tough interviewer. I throw the unexpected at you. So let's hear from a veteran.
Humanitarian crisis. It's a war zone. It's, you know what I mean? This is how I see addressing the problem is, it's boots on the ground every single day.
Now, I don't know exactly what he's referring to when he talked about boots on the ground, because, you know, the homeless problem is multidimensional, of course. I don't know that he may not have been referring to the construction project. He may have been referring to, you know, combing the streets to find veterans. So as somebody who's in the business of giving services to formerly homeless people, you know, the almost cliched criticism is, well, what incentive do they have to actually stop homelessness? They make money off of it. What do you say to that?
The idea that we're making money off of this?
Yeah, but I think the more specific criticism is they're not really motivated to find a solution. It's not so much that making money in and of itself is a bad thing, but that because of the profit motive, it lends itself more towards perpetuating the problem than it does to solving it.
Yeah, well, what I can say is, one, we're a nonprofit organization. We are driven by mission. Our commitment to veterans goes all the way back to our founding by the late Judge Harry Pregerson, who himself was a wounded World War II veteran and became later a federal judge and made it his life's passion to support the needs of both veterans and those that are vulnerable here in our communities throughout Southern California. And so that that spirit is infused in our DNA here at Century. Our president and CEO today, Ron Griffith, is also a Purple Heart veteran, and we've been doing this for 25 years at the Villages. We're going to continue doing it. This is difficult work, but it's also very hopeful work because we see the power that that housing and services can provide to, you know, to the veterans that have so valiantly served our country.
Well, I just want you to know that was a devil's advocate question, because as somebody who has spent a lot of time at the villages, I think you guys do a great job. But I do think, you know, in general, it's reasonable for folks to be wondering. It's always fair to ask, where's the money going? What's the motive? What's actually being done? And if you just assume that, you know, the motive financially is to perpetuate it, then there's no way to judge any organization like yours favorably, right? I mean, there's a real good mix there of, you know, because the people that come to the community there are at different stages of their life. They have different problems. They function to different degrees. And I think what's great there is that you address each of those nuances quite nicely. And there's a lot of services that are aimed at getting people back on their feet.
That's our goal. We think it's a success when someone that's lived at the villages for a couple of years is able to pack up and move on and move out and make room for, you know, the next household or veteran that needs a community like the villages to aid in their recovery.
And as anybody knows Steve Coleman, he is the real deal and has been brought to tears on more than one occasion. He's a real emotional guy and a great guy.
He's passionate about his work.
Yeah, indeed. So there was one thing that kind of puzzled me about this ABC report. It was from a woman who they just flashed on the screen that she's at the VA in Long Beach. But there was the whole report is about L.A., and they didn't really explain that. Let me show you what I'm talking about.
Campbell, a Navy veteran who had a good paying job and a home until COVID cost her both, turned to the VA for temporary housing to help her reset.
It's allowed me to settle down my emotional state, you know, and get comfortable in looking forward as opposed to continually watching my back.
You see what I mean? It said resident.
Humanitarian crisis.
Oh, I'm sorry, hang on.
It's a war zone. It's, you know what I mean? This.
Sorry about that. You see what I mean? It said resident Long Beach VA. It's like, did I overlook something or are we missing an explanation?
Yeah, well, there is a VA hospital in Long Beach. Obviously, there's the big VA hospital here on the West LA VA campus. It may be that she was accessing some services here at West LA, but resides in Long Beach. Both those medical centers are part of a larger network of hospitals. They're part of the same VISN led by Michael Fisher. So I think that may be what's happening.
But maybe they just mislabeled it. In other words, there's not housing going on there.
There is not housing at the VA campus in Long Beach, no. The closest veteran housing would be the villages. We're about 8 miles down PCH from the VA hospital there.
Okay. All right, well, I think we covered it pretty well, unless there's anything else on your mind. I think one of the great things is that Tori chopped off the W's at my request. Did you notice that when she flashed the last time? How about one more time? There it is. Look at that. I don't like excessive consonants.
Thank you, Tori.
So I told you the other day that this doesn't have to be like the most comprehensive, consummate interview of all time, because this is a long-term project and I definitely want to follow it as it goes on. But for this stage of the game, is there anything else that you'd want to say before we close?
Yeah, I appreciate the opportunity to share with your listeners and your viewers about the progress that's happening there. For those that are interested in learning more, please visit our website, theveteranscollective.org. See what I did there, Jeff? I didn't mention the www. But you know, I just want to, you know, I know there's skepticism, there's some cynicism out there for some very good reasons. But like I said, since late 2018, when we were selected, we very much view this as a new day. We are working hard. We've got a team here at Century of 3-4 project managers that are working on just our developments here, not to mention that the team at US Vets and TSA that's also working. And we've got very active partners at the VA that are looking to pull this off. This will be a gem on the west side. There will not be another community like this. This is kind of a once in a lifetime opportunity, which is one of the reasons I'm so, you know, passionate about this project.
Yeah, and it doesn't hurt to get some celebrity support also. I just remembered we have a photo of Rihanna, who dropped by recently to visit the veterans over there. There she is. Yeah. And you know, any way to get the word out helps. All right, Brian, thanks a lot. Good chatting with you. Let's do it again soon.
It would be my pleasure, and I'd love to have an opportunity to introduce you to some of my colleagues on the principal developer team. So let's keep talking.
All right, you talked me into it.